My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show, and we are talking, of course, each and every week about the decentralized revolution, and we are running through some of the biggest headlines of the week, and we look at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. We mostly just talk about the finance side of things, of course, on the technology side, Bitcoin, which is leading the decentralized revolution, but you got to look at the whole picture if you really want to understand the context of what's going on. And so we look at all the different news articles, and I saw one this week that was very concerning. So we saw the G20 leaders of the world. So these are the top 20 nations in the world were meeting. One big question I have is, why in the heck was Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, why was he there presenting to the G20? What top 20 nation does he run? Well, of course, the answer is none. He is not an elected leader. He is not a part of any company or I should say country. So why is he there then talking to the G20, telling them that they need to rebuild the world in the way that he sees fit? I don't understand that part. But that's a whole different topic for a whole nother time. But one thing that was very shocking and scary, and maybe we still have some time to push back on if you don't like it, but the G20 leaders issued a joint declaration promoting global health passports to facilitate international travel. Big news coming out this week as they all met in Indonesia for the 17th annual summit under the name, quote, Recover Together, Recover Stronger. Big, big, big deal. So, top 20 countries responsible for more than 80% of the world's gross domestic product, 75% of global trade, and 60% of the world's total population all got together. It's 19 countries and the European Union. And so basically they got together and they issued a joint declaration at the end of the summit advocating for a universal standard on proof of vaccination for international travel and urging the creation of, quote, a global digital health network. Sounds sort of like China's social credit score system. So they want to have basically a big database where they can all share information, and they could make all of us then have to show like an app that would allow us to move around freely. Well, not freely, because they'll take away our ability to move freely. Instead, they'll make a series of checkpoints and gateways that we have to go through. There was a story that I heard when I was a kid, and it was like how to catch a wild boar, how to catch a wild pig. And I grew up in Texas, and so we used to do quite a bit of hunting back there. And you'd set up like a feeder, and you would throw corn on the ground every day. And you would set up this feeder, and you'd set it to program it like at 5 o'clock every day, it throws corn on the ground. And what happens is then the animals start to realize that the corn comes on the ground every day at the same time. And then the animals come in, and then, of course, you can go hunt them. But if I want to catch a wild pig one way, and I want to do it live, one thing I could do is I could put corn on the ground every day. And then as this pig comes in and gets the corn every day, then eventually I build a wall on one side. But the pig doesn't notice, and he still gets the corn every day. And then eventually I build a second wall. And the pig doesn't notice, and he still comes and gets the corn every day. And then I build a third wall. And then finally, one day, he comes in, and I add the fourth wall. And each one of these things are another wall that's being put around us. Now, you might be the type of person that believes that you don't know what you're doing, and you don't know what's going on in the world, and you just want someone to tell you what to do and keep you safe and just put you in a cage and bring you that meal every day. I just don't believe that. And so we might have a big discrepancy in our viewpoint. You know, I like to think of it like a lion that lives on the pride, right? A lion in the pride out on the plain. And the lion is the king, right? The lion can basically kill any animal at once. It's the top of the food chain, right? The alpha, the apex predator, if you will. But it's not safe for that lion. The lion is free, but it's not safe. And so, you know, that lion has to fight other lions and has to, you know, kill its prey. If it doesn't, they could starve to death. It has to, you know, run from hunters and all those types of things. But it's free. Now, we could take that lion, we could go put it in a cage in a zoo, and we can keep that lion safe. And we can give it its antibiotics and its hormones, and we can throw it its one meal a day. And that lion is safe in that cage, but it's not free. And so freedom and safety are not the same things, unfortunately. A free life is not necessarily a safe life, and vice versa. And so, you know, if you're the type of person that wants the government to just basically throw you in a cage and give you your antibiotics and one meal a day, well, this is the world that they're bringing. So maybe you like that. For me, I don't like it. And, you know, each one of these things is one step closer to that. The other thing that I really don't like is I don't like this global cooperation, this global network, because I don't believe that one group of people know what's best for the entire world. They don't have the information. Their version of utopia is probably not my version of utopia, and I'm more than happy to realize that my version of utopia is not yours either. And that's why there is no such thing as utopia, because one man's version is maybe another man's hell. And so I am smart enough to know that my version of utopia isn't yours, which is why I'm not trying to make laws and rules and regulations for you, which is why we shouldn't have one group of people making laws and rules and regulations for everybody. Now, we also know that good ideas are found through competition. You try your idea, let me try my idea, and let's compete and see which one works better. But instead, if they have some global initiative where they pass this to everybody, where there's no way to opt out, there's no way to try another way, we'll never know which way is better or worse. Now, we know that if you've ever spent time going to the Department of Motor Vehicles or something like that, when the government has no competition, how is their product and their service? It's very poor. Right, and so when companies are forced to compete, we know we get better products, service, and prices. So I'm not for one group of people making global laws to go over everybody, nor am I for the safe and less free option that's happening. But it's exactly what's happening with our money. So central bank digital currencies, which are coming down the pipeline, which again are programmable money. So if you don't do what they say, then your money doesn't work. If you don't spend your money by Friday, it comes back to you. If you're saving too much, you have a negative interest rate. If you want to try and spend it on red meat, which we think is bad for you, then you can't buy that, right? Or whatever it may be. Or you don't have your passport, your health passport, and now you can't use your money to buy travel, a plane ticket, a train ticket, or whatever. This is a very, very, very scary world that we're going into. where one small group of people are going to try to dictate the freedoms and the movements of otherwise free people. You know, in the United States, we were founded with the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness, which was actually taken from life, liberty, and property. And life, liberty, and property means that my life is my property to do as I see fit. Of course, they don't like that. And so anyway, that's a big headline coming out this week, something that you should be aware of as we talk about the world changing, the decentralized world. This seems like the world is centralizing under one control. I believe this breaks and it moves to decentralization. I have some more headlines to show how this world is transitioning into this decentralized revolution that we talk about every week. So I got a couple more stories I want to break for you that are very important that you keep your eye on. I'll be back with those and more in a minute. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution that we talk about each and every week as we look at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. And there's a lot going on. You know, I talk about this decentralized revolution as the world is moving, the pendulum is swinging. It's been swinging on a 250-year time frame to a world of centralization. And now we can see that it's pushing back and we're moving back the opposite direction into a world of decentralization. And like I said, I like to look at it through all of those things. Now, one of the things that's leading us into this new world is, of course, politics, finance, and technology, the financial piece. We know that we're at the end of a 100-year sovereign debt crisis. All the governments around the world are going bankrupt. If you've noticed what's happened with this whole FTX situation, where they basically collapsed almost overnight and took everybody's money with them, you can understand that that's a perfect microcosm for what's happening in the greater financial system. And just like it was the small cryptocurrency companies that went down first, and now it's taking out bigger and bigger ones, it's exactly what's happening in the greater financial system. And so we've already seen the small countries, the Venezuelas, the Zimbabwes go down. Then we've seen the Perus, the Ecuadors go down. We've seen the Lebanons. Now Turkey's going down. Now we're about to witness Japan, which might be the next one, Japan, and then the UK, and then the euro going down. And eventually, it comes to roost in the United States and the dollar as well. The Fed, trying to control the monetary policy, the inflation, and everything around the financial system in the United States is up against a serious, serious problem. And there was a story that came out this week that is some that basically said the quiet part out loud. The part that they haven't really said, but I've been trying to make sure that you hear. But they actually came out and said it right now. And so we know that the Federal Reserve is trying to fight inflation. And so their goal is to restrict the monetary supply to bring prices down. What they consider inflation or prices going higher, they want to bring prices down. Now, of course, I've talked about this. It's very simple. Supply and demand. If you want to bring prices down, you either, one, bring more supply to the market, or two, you reduce the demand. The central banks, the Federal Reserve, cannot bring more supply to the market. They can't bring more oil or gas to the market. They can't bring more food to the market. So the only thing they can do is crush demand. How do they crush demand? By making you poor. Better said, by making you broke. If they can make you broke, then you don't want to drive your car. You don't want to go out to dinner. You don't want to go on a vacation. Sounds bad, doesn't it? The job of the Federal Reserve, their goal right now, their stated goal, I'll say, their stated goal isn't to try to bring prices down so your life is easier. Their life is to make, their goal is to make your life harder by making you broke so that then prices come down and they can say they won. So in order for them to win, they must make you broke. How's that sound? Not so good, right? So their goal is for your retirement account to cut in half, for your home value to get cut in half, and for a lot of you to lose your jobs, and for your jobs or the new job that you might find to pay you less money. The fact that more people are working, and more importantly, the fact that you're getting paid more for your job is in direct contrast to what they want. Now, I know that sounds really bad. That sounds maybe as controversial, maybe conspiratorial. You're like, Mark, there's no way. The Fed doesn't really want that. The Fed's trying to do the best they can for the economy. Well, they said the quiet part out loud. As a matter of fact, the story came out this week. It says right here, quote, wage growth has been a contributing factor to inflation, especially in the service sector. So it's important to get the labor market into better balance to bring future wage growth down to a more sustainable level that will assist in moving overall inflation lower, end quote. Let me break that down for you. Wage growth, so the fact that you're getting paid more money, has been a contributing factor to inflation. So first of all, wage growth has been flat. As a matter of fact, when you adjust it for inflation, so when Biden was elected president, I believe gas was in like the $2.30 range. Today it's like $3.50 or $4. So gas has gone up by whatever, 50, 60%. Have your wages gone up by 50 or 60%? You were making $100,000 before, now you're making $150,000? No. In that same 2-year time span, home prices are up about 35 or 40%. Has your pay gone up by 35 or 40%? No. Steak has gone up. Airline travel has gone up. Have your wages gone up to keep up with the rise in price of everything else? Of course, the answer is no. So that means that the quality of your life is going down. That means that you work just the same amount and you're not able to afford the things that you used to afford. So your wages are not growing enough to keep up with that. But here it says, I'm going to read it again, wage growth has been a contributing factor to inflation. So they're saying that the reason why prices are going up so much is because you're getting paid more, but you're not getting paid enough. It says it's important to bring the labor market and wage growth down. So they want you to, your pay raises to go down to assist with inflation. And this is by a member of the Federal Reserve's 6-member board, Christopher Wallace. That's what he said. Wage growth, it's a contributing factor, and that's a problem. He said, at any other time, I would be pretty unhappy about slowing growth, but not now, he said. So not now. Now we need you to make less money. Now we need you to get paid less. Now we need more people to be unemployed. Too many people are working. That's the problem. And see, when too many people are working, that means employers now have to compete for you. right? There's not enough people to go around. So now there's a bidding war for employees, which is good, but not for them, not for the Fed. That goes against everything that they want. It's a scary, scary world that we're in. You would think that their goal would be human flourishment. You would think their goal would be that you would have a better life, but that's certainly not the case. The Federal Reserve, like I said, they can't just create more supply. All they can do is crush demand. Now, they could, they could incentivize people to make more, right? They could take some of that money, those trillions of dollars they printed and, you know, sent over to Ukraine, for example. They could use that to bring more gas to the, you know, people in the United States to bring gas prices down. That would help. But instead, no. Instead, they continue to shut oil and gas leases down, so we have less oil and gas than we had before. They could try to influence the government to relax regulations so that it's cheaper to run your business, but no, that wouldn't be the right way to do it. Instead, we want to crush demand. We want to make everybody broke. It's what they call the wealth effect. The wealth effect is that when you see your retirement account going up, when you see your house going up, you feel more wealthy. You feel more optimistic about the future. Dare I say happier, right? When you're optimistic, you feel good about the future. You feel happier. You're generally in a better mood. And so then you're more productive. You're spending more money, which is good for businesses because now businesses have more customers. And when those customers have, when those businesses have more customers, they sell more goods, means they can buy more from the suppliers. Those suppliers do better and everybody does good in that system. But when they crush demand, it's what's called the reverse wealth effect. When you see a retirement cut in half and your home price cut in half, you feel poor. And then you feel pessimistic about the future. You feel scared. You feel uneasy. You feel anxious about the future. And so then you want to hoard. I don't want to spend. So now you don't go out. But think about the state of the nation or the world at that point. You went from a state where everybody was optimistic and happy and peaceful and loving to a state where people are angry and bitter and scared and anxious about the future. Now, which world would you rather live in? I mean, I don't know about you. I would rather live in a world where people are optimistic and happy and hopeful. That's the world I want to live in, but not the Fed. The Fed wants you to be angry and scared of the future. And now you know. Anyway, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution, breaking down some of the latest breaking news headlines. I got a lot more to cover when I come back in a minute. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days, like literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution, talking about the way the world is changing, of course, and we're looking at the latest breaking news of the week, some of the news headlines that kind of show us how the world is changing right before our very eyes. And it's important to understand this because it brings everything into context. And so a couple of things that I'm seeing this week that were pretty shocking. One big thing that I saw, which is, you know, we're on the other side of the midterm elections. I don't like to typically spend a lot of time talking about politics necessarily, unless it kind of corresponds with finance and technology. We're looking at the intersection of those three things. But looking at that, we saw that the mood is really shifting towards some stories that were being broken about the Biden family, specifically maybe the Biden crime syndicate family. And it's not a story that I typically jump into, especially because of the amount of censorship that's been around this. But it's interesting to see how this whole landscape is shifting by a couple of things. And I think one is that Twitter has now been taken over by Elon Musk, and he took it over privately. So Twitter was a publicly held corporation. And even though Jack Dorsey, the founder, was still the CEO, I believe he owned like less than 5% of the company, and he wasn't really able to affect any change. And that's kind of the way it is when you have these big publicly traded companies. There's just so much bureaucracy. And so Elon Musk took it over and made it private. And now he's enacting massive amounts of change in a very, very, very short amount of time. Now, there's all types of good things and bad things in that, I'm sure. And neither us, nor you listening really know the intricacies of this, the ins and outs. Even if you worked at Twitter and were maybe one of the people fired or subject to this, you maybe don't even understand this because these are complex issues. But what we do know is that things are happening very, very fast. And not just within Twitter, but I believe in the greater information space overall. And so we're seeing things happening. So for example, Elon Musk, man, he's definitely a character. And let me just state for the record, I've never been a big Elon Musk fan, mostly because of the business side of things, specifically in regards to Tesla and SolarCity. I have been enjoying watching him on Twitter because he is just like the ultimate troll. A troll is like when you just kind of make fun of people and things like that. And he can troll with the best of them, if not the best of them. Maybe he's got somebody on his staff helping him. I don't know. But I mean, his meme game is like on point. And he almost seems to be everywhere at all times, like commenting on all types of people's posts. I saw this week one that just got me so it was just so funny. Basically, CBS basically came out and said that they can't trust Twitter anymore. Twitter's too dangerous. Let me see if I can find the exact tweet. CBS News came out and said that they're going to suspend all Twitter activity due to uncertainty with Elon Musk's new leadership. Fearful, they said, of the uncertainty surrounding Elon Musk's management of Twitter, CBS News announced that it would be suspending its usage of the social media site. Oh, no. And then what was funny is that they came out and said that. And then not more than 24 hours later, they came back and reversed that. And they said, well, you know what, on other news, we're going to stay on Twitter, but we're going to observe, we're going to watch, we're going to see what happens. And Elon Musk put out a picture. It was like, like Brokeback Mountain or something like that. With like him with like a cowboy hat on and like someone else like hugging around his neck. And he said like CBS, like can't quit me or something like that. Which was just, like I said, he can just troll with the best of them. You know, the thing with CBS is like they had to announce to the world that they were going to leave and everybody cared. CBS News has 8.8 million followers or subscribers on Twitter. But when I scroll through Twitter, it looks like their posts get about 100 likes on average, maybe less even. I mean, a lot of them get way less. I would say they get less than 100 likes on their posts with over 8 million followers. It's like legacy media has a place on Twitter, but nobody cares. Like, they post, they followed him. A lot of people probably haven't gone through and unfollowed him. But they're getting less than 100 likes. Now, my Twitter account, which is nowhere near that, I'm about just over 100,000 subscribers, which, by the way, if you're not following me on Twitter, you should. I put a lot of play-by-play information on there every day. It's just the one Mark Moss, at one Mark Moss. But I have about 100,000 followers, and I'm probably getting like double the engagement rate, if not triple the engagement rate on average that they are. So they came out and said, hey, we're going to, we're going to suspend it because it's so dangerous. And then like less than 2 days later, they're back and we're coming back, which is a joke. But I think the bigger thing that I kind of want to highlight is that it's forcing these news organizations to change the way they operate because they're being called out in real time. Like, the amount of breaking news happening on Twitter happens so fast because it's like it's crowdsourced information. And these centrally controlled news organizations that used to be able to control the narrative can no longer control the narrative. If they come out and say something, they might say, hey, there's a protest happening in Iran, for example. Then they can say that. They could show some pictures showing that. But then all of a sudden people on Twitter could go, wait a minute, I'm here right now and it's not. And look, like, here's pictures, right? So they're not able to control the narrative. The news information moves too fast. And so a highlight of this week has been a big pivot, is that back to CBS has a massive pivot this week. I believe they were forced to pivot this week because they came out big time against the Hunter Biden laptop story. And if you remember, right before the presidential election, the Hunter Biden laptop broke. And it's not about Hunter Biden. It's about the Biden family, specifically Joe Biden's relationship within that. And all this information came out about the laptop, and all the news outlets censored it, including Facebook, including CBS, et cetera. Now, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook went on Joe Rogan and said he was told to censor it by the FBI. CBS, of course, censored it. And now this week, CBS confirms the Hunter Biden laptop is real, 769 days after the New York Post broke the story. Now, you might remember the New York Post had its account canceled for even posting that story. Anybody that retweeted their story also had their account shut down just for even saying it. And now here's CBS News confirming that it's all true. Now, why is CBS flip-flopping? Why are they pivoting? First, they're canceling their account. Now they're not canceling the account. First, they're censoring anyone who talks about the laptop. Now they're not. And I believe this is a symbol that shows how the centrally planned system is breaking down. Decentralization is winning out. We're able to share information. We're able to share ideas. We're able to have free speech, which I think is the most important bedrock of a free society. What separates humans from animals is that humans can talk, animals can't. And we can talk, and we should be able to talk. We should be able to share ideas. Good ideas, the truth is found through discussion. If something's a lie, it's going to be very quickly found out to be a lie. Everyone's going to say, no, look, here's the evidence, this is a lie. And if it's the truth, it'll be found to be the truth. All this talk about hiding disinformation, they say that cutting a man's tongue out does not prove him wrong. It only proves you have something to hide. And so that's what's happening. It's interesting to see it happening in real time. CBS News has come around in just a couple of days. They've confirmed the information of the Hunter Biden laptop story. They've had to pivot and keep their account on Twitter so they can stay relevant in the conversation, even though nobody cares about them anymore. And that is a massive signpost to show the world is changing right before our very eyes. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show, talking about the decentralized revolution, talking about the way the world is changing through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. And that's what I got. Thanks for listening.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.